Washington State often ends up on lists as one of the most liberal states in the union. So Susan Hutchison, the new chair of the Republican Party in Washington State, has her work cut out for her. You might remember her from her long career at Cairo TV, where she was an anchor, or her run against Dow Constantine for King County Executive. Last week, Susan Hutchison told me what the state party does.
As the party, we have to do what candidates can't do for themselves. So we have to provide them the infrastructure. For example, we're very focused right now on building up our data platform. And, you know, that's for get out the vote, voter ID, all of the things that are so essential to winning elections today. It's very important for us to make sure we have a handle on the nature of a district so that we can help recruit the best candidates to run. And then once those candidates jump into a race, we help them. The Jan Angel race is a great example, that special election last fall. I give Jan all the credit in the world for winning it, but we did help her. We helped her in a lot of ways. I recorded 2 robocalls for her, and I was able to say things that sometimes candidates can't say in a very strong way in those robocalls to get out the vote.
What kind of things can you say that a candidate can't say?
Well, that election hit in early November, around the time that the website for Obamacare was blowing up, and everybody knew it. And even though at the time Obamacare was considered a national issue, now we know it's actually a local issue as well, but people in that race weren't using that issue as an issue to discuss or debate. But I could, days before the election, because it was so timely, and so I recorded a robocall to Republican voters that said, "Did you know you can vote against Obamacare this weekend?" That's right. A vote for Jan Angel is a vote against Nathan Schlicker, who supports Obamacare. So, you know, that's the kind of awareness I can raise. And, you know, maybe she had mentioned in a debate way back when that he supported Obamacare. But her debates were over by this time. And so I'm able to help out as I can. But we also did tremendous mailings. We did. We brought together an army of volunteers. You know, she won that race. She took a seat away from an incumbent, and she won by 4 percentage points. That doesn't happen by accident in a swing district. So we're very proud of that, and we think it's a harbinger of things to come.
Republicans have been running hard against Obamacare. Does that dog still hunt going forward in the upcoming
election? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I call it the gift that keeps on giving. You know, and the reason why is Democrats tend to have a corner on the market on emotional issues. You know, Republicans are always doing the analysis. The poster boy for that, of course, is Paul Ryan in the U.S. House, who does such a great job with budget and fiscal analysis. And those issues are important to Republicans, and they should be important to everyone, but they don't get people riled up. They don't get people inspired. It's very cerebral stuff. Democrats seem to do a much better job getting people to feel things. And Obamacare is being felt, and it's being felt in the most crucial place, which is our health, which has to do with our lives and how long we can live and what quality of life we're going to have. You know, so much about what we consider our blessings are related to our good health or our desire to have better health. So
That's an issue that works for you.
It's totally. And even the Democrats know it.
Right.
They know it well.
One of your predecessors, Chris Vance, who held your job, has said that there's a real civil war going on in the Republican Party right now. He says the Tea Party members are very extreme and often turning on their more moderate brethren. Do you see a civil war within the Republican Party in Washington State?
Not at all. In fact, the way I describe it is we have a patchwork quilt, a colorful patchwork quilt of opinions within our party. And so we have divergent ideas about a lot of issues, but we are united on one issue, and it's the burning issue of our day, and that is, what is the character of America to be? Are we going to be the land of opportunity, which we have been for over 200 years, where every child born has a shot at the American dream? Or are we going to be a dependency society with bigger and bigger government, paid for by higher and higher taxes, that provide more and more to people, which takes away their will to work, which takes away their dignity, which takes away their hope? And that is such a uniting idea that all Republicans that I meet agree on that.
You've said that one of your priorities is defeating Jay Inslee. So my question is, what are you going to do to accomplish that? Chris Vance couldn't do it as head of the party. Diane Tiberius couldn't do it. Luke Esser couldn't do it. Kirby Wilbur couldn't defeat the Democrat. So what's Susan Hutchison going to go do differently to defeat the Democratic incumbent?
Well, one of the reasons I ran for this office when it suddenly became available when Kirby announced that he was leaving is that I bring a skill set and years of experience in the areas that I think are necessary in this role. First of all, I'm a communicator by nature. I'm a journalist, spent over 25 years in the business of television news. I've spent many years in nonprofit management. I ran a foundation for 10 years. I've chaired nonprofits, and I have a turnaround talent. I love to fix things, and so the party needed fixing, and I feel I have a skill set there. I ran for King County Executive. I ran in a blue county against the Democratic machine, and I understand its blueprint now. I understand the opposition, and I think that's really valuable. And then finally, I'm a fundraiser. You know, when I ran for office, I was known as the best fundraiser in the state.
In what ways does the Republican Party in Washington State need fixing?
Well, starting with just the management at the party level and the headquarters, I've brought our employees, our team together and said, you know, I know you can get paid more in similar jobs elsewhere, but you don't get to change the world. And so I've given them an inspiration and a goal that we're actually in our little corner of the country that's considered to be a blue state. I think we're a swing state, but my goal is to prove that we're a swing state and to be on the national radar and to matter in presidential elections. We believe the strongest government is a two-party, strong two-party system where iron sharpens iron, and Republicans have been too weak for too long.
What would prove that we were a swing state? What could you accomplish as a Republican Party chair that would demonstrate that?
Well, we're going after, in this midterm election period, more House seats. And, of course, we're wanting to hang on to our majority coalition. And we think that there are a couple seats that we could actually gain in the Senate in 2014. But we also have a congressional district that we believe is a swing district. And Susan DelBene sits in that seat in the first congressional, and she's a one-termer. We think she's vulnerable, and we have got a candidate who's going to be announcing soon who I think is very viable. If we're able to take that first congressional district, we've got an even split in congressional delegation. That's the definition of a swing state.
Okay, who are you running in the first district?
Well, that hasn't been announced yet, and I don't want to steal that person's thunder. So,
okay.
You know, you're going to keep your eye out and your ear, because we've got a number of races coming up where you're going to see more diversity in Republican candidates than you've ever seen before, and that's one of our exciting stories.
In the state legislature, by virtue of the majority coalition, which includes two Democrats, Republicans have actually had more power than they've had in many years. Mm-hmm. Would you like to continue that majority coalition with the help of these two Democrats, or are you going to shoot for a straight GOP majority in the Senate?
Well, I say my job is to elect good Republicans to work with good Democrats to do good for the people of Washington State. And we've got a couple good Democrats who crossed over and are caucusing with us, and we're really grateful to them. We think they're wise, and we think it's been good for the people of Washington State. There are other good Democrats that we work with across the aisle. I don't know what's going to happen as we gain more seats in the Senate. That's for that caucus to determine. But I know that I've been to the caucus a few times in Olympia in the last month, and I know there's a great camaraderie between the Democrats and Republicans in the caucus. And I think even Democrats are dismayed with Governor Inslee and the way he's governing. Even labor, as we know, has been dismayed with Governor Inslee. And so we've got a great opportunity to keep him focused on the things that will help our state and not hurt our state.
Politico had an interesting story out this week about state political parties, and it says that state party officials like yourself are going to have and are having a hard time fundraising. And here's the reason they set out. It's because so much money is going into the national super PACs, the Koch brothers PACs and places like that, and not into the state party system. And it suggests that outside groups are kind of taking over the functions of what state parties have traditionally done. Are you finding that's the case here in Washington State?
Yeah, and I just want to add that the Koch brothers certainly get a lot of attention, but it also came out this week that they're the 57th in line of political donors, the first being Act Blue, which is an organization based on the East Coast that funds Democratic causes. So I always want to point out, and the rest of the top 10 are mostly made up of unions. So the Koch brothers have a balancing effect on that huge advantage that the Democrats have. But I would answer that question by saying, you know, a state chair, a state political party is as effective as it is good. You know, in other words, if we're a weak party, we're ineffective. If we're a strong party, we're effective. And that's my goal, is to make us strong. And we make ourselves strong by serving the needs of our constituents, that is, our party grassroots and our elected officials in the party. But also, we look the other direction and we look at the RNC, the national party. And, you know, they've kind of forgotten us because we're out here in this far corner and we're blue in their eyes. But I have worked over the last 5 months that I've been in office to get their attention. And I think a great example of that is what's going on in the 1st Congressional District. The National Republican Congressional Committee was not paying any attention to that seat. And we got it on their radar screen, and now they are claiming that it's in play, which I believe is so. But part of that was lobbying them to show them, hey, look, we've got good potential candidates for that district, and it's very vulnerable. So we're getting their attention, which means when you get national attention, you're going to get money. And so, as you know, money is the name of the game when it comes to being able to get the messages out to win elections.
But what about this Politico angle about competition between the state parties and the super PACs nationally? Are you going to donors? I mean, sometimes we go to donors and they say, we want to give to National Public Radio. We don't want to give to our local public radio station. Are you going to donors and having them say, Susan, that's interesting, but I really would like to give to a super PAC to operate at a national level rather than to the state party? As you say, the party needs some work done. Are you hearing that reaction?
Well, definitely. We compete with money going to the national level. No question about it. We also compete with money going to the caucuses. The caucuses are raising money, both on the House and the Senate. We compete with other organizations that are raising money, nonprofits, 501c3s or C4s, that are raising money for conservative causes. But we have to explain to donors that what we do is something that no one else is charged to do.
Explain that to me. I'm a Republican donor, and you've come to ask me for money, and I'm saying I might want to give to a national PAC or one of these other outlets to achieve my conservative goals. Why should I give to you?
Okay, because we've got a job to do. And our job is to help candidates get elected, to do the things they cannot do for themselves. A candidate doesn't jump into the ring and say, okay, now I'm going to do a voter registration campaign. You know, no candidate has time for that. We also provide that infrastructure that I talked about, that data platform. You know, in the commercial world, it's called a customer management system. You know, it's the way you figure out who your customers are and build relationships with them. So it's the voter relationship management, which is what we do with our data system. It's very similar to what Walmart is doing to understand their customers, or Nordstrom, or QFC, for that matter. Everybody wants to get to know their customers better. And so we can do that at the state level. A candidate doesn't do that. So we provide them that access. We give them the database. And nowadays, it's so sophisticated. You're using handheld phones. You know, the Democrats are pros at this. They did a beautiful job with it during the Obama campaign. King County Democrats are a really well-oiled machine. As the Republican Party, we need to become a well-oiled machine.
You talked about maybe stealing some seats from the Democrats at the state legislative level and maybe in Congress. But what about your first termers, people like Andy Hill and Steve O'Bann? They're in suburban areas that some are saying are starting to go blue. They're going toward the other party. Are you going to have to be playing some defense here to hold on to what you've got?
I don't think anything is going blue. I think in general in Washington state, it's going independent. And so the challenge for both parties is to woo those independents to come to our side to elect are candidates. And you mentioned Andy Hill, Steve O'Bannon. Those are two of the finest human beings I know.
But are they going to have a tough time getting reelected in their districts?
You know, they're going to have fights, no question about it. And we're aware of that. And they're being targeted because the Dems need to cut back this power in order to gain back the Senate. Now, Andy Hill is chair of the Budget Committee. He's done a superb job. He's an amazing fellow, a Harvard grad, a Microsoft former employee. He's fought and beaten cancer. He headed up the soccer organization in his area of King County when he left Microsoft. So he understands youth and youth sports, youth opportunity. He's smart as can be, and I think that his opponent is not up to beating him.
Some within the Republican Party say it's really not doing a good enough job reaching out to Latino voters. Do you agree with that?
That's probably true, yeah. But we're working on it. And that's, we understand that there is a natural connection between our Latino voters and the Republican Party.
What is that connection?
Well, it's at many levels. It's faith and family is very strong. And also many of our Latino immigrants, as we know, are terrific small business people. And the Republican Party is the party of small business. Most of us are exposed to our Latino neighbors because they're such terrific business people. They provide services and products that are extremely well made. They work hard and they're terrific citizens. And I, for one, consider them a huge asset to America.
It's been noted that despite the relatively large Latino population in our state, there are really very few Latino politicians, people in elected office, even compared to California, where there are also many Latinos. Are you going to be recruiting any Latino Republican candidates?
I think, as I said, you're going to be very impressed with the diversity of our candidates once they're all announced.
Is that a yes?
Absolutely.
Okay, there will be a Latino candidate that you're recruiting to run for office.
Absolutely.
Okay, and when will we find out about that again?
It's soon. We're still a little early. This is incremental. People right now are looking at the 4th congressional district because Doc Hastings just announced that he's stepping down. I think there are like 15 names I've heard so far and about 4 or 5 or 6 that have declared. But they'll be culled over the next few months as they find it harder and harder. Certain people find it harder and harder to raise money, and the other people find it easier to raise money.
And Clint Didier, of course, threw his hat in the ring. He's been a statewide candidate before. What do you think his chances are in that district?
I think he has strong name recognition because he's run for statewide office, and that's a huge benefit. But he also will be facing people who have strong name recognition because they've been elected locally or in their legislative districts. So Clint has not called me. It's a common courtesy for Republicans or anyone who plans to run under the Republican title to contact the state party. And I've talked with a number of the candidates. I have to remind them, as they well know, that we remain neutral through the primary with multiple Republican candidates running in a race. And then I wish them well, and I tell them that the party is here to help.
Why would Clint Didier not be calling up the Republican Party chair?
You know, I don't know, and maybe he hasn't gotten around to it. I don't know him. I've not ever met him. So I look forward to the opportunity to talk to him. But he comes out with the best name recognition. There's more to life than name recognition also. There's favorables and unfavorables when you start doing polling. And all of that will play a role. And if somebody wants the job more than he does, they more likely will win because it involves such hard work to run for office. You've got to raise money and make calls and go to parades and go into debates well prepared and knock on doors. It's a huge effort.
I want to get back to your run for King County Executive against Dow Constantine. You've talked about that a little bit, but you clearly offered voters a choice. There was a clear liberal conservative choice in that election. I wondered what you learned about how Republicans might be able to achieve more success in King County, which is where the most of our population is on this side of the state. Did you learn from running that campaign on how to be a more effective Republican Party chair?
I did.
What did you learn?
I felt that we ran a very noble campaign, and I was proud of it, and I was proud of our team. However, I learned as a as I said, I went to school on the Democrat machine. And so I learned their blueprint. And the first thing out of the chute the Democrats do is attack their opponent as being anti-woman. And this happens at the national level. You know, this is what the Democrats did to Mitt Romney. And with the slightest of evidence, and in my case, they brought in Nayral from Alexandria, Virginia, who did thousands of robocalls that said I was going to shut down the women's reproductive health clinics of King County, which, of course, got a lot of attention. Well, it turns out King County doesn't have any women's reproductive health clinics. We have health clinics that serve a wide array of citizens of King County on a multitude of issues. There was nothing I would have done to change those clinics at all. But when all of a sudden you're being attacked for something that doesn't even exist, it's very hard to fight that unless you've got a lot of money and can do a counterattack. And so whenever I counsel Republicans who are running, I say the first thing out of the chute is they're going to attack you for being anti-woman. Even if you're a woman, you are anti-woman. So you have to figure out what votes your opponent has taken that has hurt women. You know, look at this death penalty stunt that the governor has pulled. It makes no sense to Democrats or Republicans in Olympia, I guarantee you. But do you know that every single person on death row killed a woman? Every single person. So who's got a war on women? You know, a guy that wants to put a moratorium on the justice system and, you know, for the sake of a group of men who've murdered women, you know, that's an issue that is going to benefit Steve O'Bannon, where three of those death row inmates and those crimes occurred in his district. And Steve is our guy.
So lesson one, you will be attacked on this basis. You have to figure out a way of how to defend yourself and go on the attack. What else did you learn from that race?
Well, I think, again, I mentioned this at the start of the interview, is that Republicans tend to be more cerebral. They tend to think in terms of what are the consequences of a particular issue. What will it cost? Who will pay for it? And will it provide more harm than good in the long run? A lot of that kind of analysis is really boring to the uninformed voter. And I think that we need to do a better job as Republicans communicating these issues in a way that touches them personally, because that's what's real to our voters. They need to know how a particular issue or a stance of a candidate is going to help them in their own lives. And their own lives are not very complex, and they don't do a lot of analysis about great fiscal issues that, you know, are being debated in the budget committees of the state capitol or the Congress. But we have to be much better at communicating that.
I'm talking with Susan Hutchison. She's the chair of the Republican Party in Washington State. And we're talking about some of the issues the party is facing and how she wants to strengthen the party and make everyone think that we are a swing state, which she already thinks we are. So during the 2012 election, Mitt Romney said the Republican Party should fight against legalization of marijuana. As you know, we passed that here in Washington State, but I believe most Republicans in our state voted against that. Is this an issue that you as party chair thinks the party should take forward?
Well, the issue has been decided because it was voted on by a vote of the people. It wasn't determined in the courts, as some other issues are that continue to fester. This one has been determined. And so we move forward. It's a social experiment, since we're one of only two states that have done this, and we still don't know how everything's going to play out. But I'm sort of surprised, but not really, because there is so much diversity in our party. There are many Republicans who voted to legalize marijuana. And it's not because they want to use it legally. It's because they are of the libertarian point of view, which is more toward legalizing drugs.
I want to talk a little bit about you, Susan Hutchison, and how you came to where you are now, both professionally and in your political beliefs. So where did you grow up?
I grew up inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C. My father was Air Force, 33 years. And so in my early years, I was actually born in California and then spent 4 years at West Point, where he was an instructor at the Military Academy, lived in Montgomery, Alabama in 1961, as a first grader, and then moved to D.C., where he was reassigned multiple times in the Pentagon. He was McNamara's military assistant. He was a fighter pilot. And my mom was active in the community as a volunteer. She was very active in the League of Women Voters. And so I grew up in a family where the local news was the international news of the day. And that's what happens when you live in the D.C. area. You feel everything that happens is happening in your neighborhood. So I got a journalism degree from the University of Florida and married my high school sweetheart, who was a Naval Academy grad. We moved to Hawaii, his duty station. He went into the Marine Corps, and that's where I got started in broadcasting. Got hired to Seattle, and he works for the Boeing Company now. And so this has been our home for 33 years. We've raised two boys. One is the shot putter and discus thrower at the University of Washington right now.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's fun to be able to watch him compete.
Where were your political views formed? Was your when you were growing up, was it a Republican Party household?
You know, my parents split on the Kennedy vote, for example. And so I grew up in a household where there was a lot of discussion about politics, and I am intellectually curious, which is why I think I was a good journalist. I'm always asking questions and wanting to know more. But what I feel in my heart and what I know to be true is that people thrive when they can make their own choices. And I believe that the bigger and bigger government becomes, the more control it exerts on our personal lives. And so I think that the Republicans have not done a good job in King County, and particularly in Seattle, of telling our story and what we stand for, because I think most people agree with what we are about and what we do for people when we help govern.
When did you kind of come to those conclusions that made you identify with the Republican Party and this perspective you just laid out?
Well, here's one way that I knew I needed to be in politics was when I was doing the news, I would watch newsmakers all the time give us their sound bites, and we would sit there and present the news, and all of a sudden you'd hear a 30-second sound bite from an elected official. And oftentimes it was discussing controversial issues. And as I listened, I would always say to myself, no, that's not how you say it. You need to say it differently than that. You have to be more persuasive, or that's not the way to communicate on that issue. That's wrong or that's right. You know, in other words, I would, in my own mind, begin to think like a politician. And I realized observing and reporting is one thing. Making policy and being part of that, part of our lives, is something that I felt I was called to.
But there are politicians of all political stripes, and you are a politician of a particular political stripe. Did you feel like that when you were doing the news? Were you a Republican in the newsroom?
Well, there are a lot of nonpartisan issues. I think transportation, which is a hugely important issue in this state, and particularly in Western Washington, is a nonpartisan issue. Where it gets partisan is when we have people on one side of the aisle or the other that are trying to push forward their own agendas. And, you know, we can't talk politics without talking about what I consider and what I learned firsthand running for office. One of the corruptions of our electoral process, which is that our public employee unions sit across the bargaining table from the very people that they elect. And how can the person that got elected because of the huge amount of money and volunteer power that the unions exerted on their behalf stand up for the taxpayer who is the person who they are supposed to be representing? And so I explain, I won the primary for King County Executive. I lost the general election to SEIU, which is the union that entered that race, not
because... That's the Service Employees International Union, which
yes,
you point
and
out.
They're the most political union in the country. It's not that they had so many employees in county government. They had very few. But they like to manipulate the political process. And so they stepped in with huge amounts of independent expenditures to do these ads, which I considered lies, about me. And so it was kind of stunning after the election was over to have my own neighbors, who I knew, not want to speak to me because they believed those false advertisements.
When did you first register as a Republican?
Well, you don't register as a Republican.
Did you first self-identify as a Republican?
Well, you know, being in the news business, you have to stay objective. And so I was very, very careful not to get involved in anything political while I served in that role.
It's kind of the conventional wisdom, and indeed there have been some political surveys that back up the idea that most people in newsrooms are fairly liberal. And it sounds as though you were not even then, even though you weren't acting on it. Did that ever make you uncomfortable in the newsroom to feel as though your politics diverged a lot than the prevailing views perhaps amongst the people you worked with?
Well, that's funny you would say that, because I don't look at my newsroom as being political. I think in general people had their own points of view that, again, were very divergent. And I'll tell you who were the most conservative in our newsroom were our photographers. And they tended to have a point of view that leaned on the conservative side or toward the Republican Party. Probably the on-air people leaned the other direction. But we all got along well, and I respected all of them, particularly those who had great skill as reporters or producers. And so, you know, this is life. I live in Seattle. I've lived in the University District for 33 years. I love it. I know that if I had put a Bush-Cheney sign on my yard, there's a chance my house would have been vandalized. If I had put a bumper sticker on, there's a chance my car could have been vandalized, because that's the nature of politics in the city of Seattle. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's so important to have a strong Republican Party. We are not knuckle draggers. We're not Neanderthals. We are your neighbors, and we want the good for the people of this city, of this county, of this state. And if I had been King County executive, I believe, which is the reason I ran, is that our county would be in better shape, attracting more jobs. It would be cleaner and better today than it was when I ran. So this is why people get into politics on the Republican side. It's to make the world better. And there is great satisfaction in being in a position like I'm in right now, where I can help make change.
You were on the board of the Discovery Institute, and one of the issues that they worked on while you were on the board was advocating for schools to teach creationist theory. Did you sort of support that as a board member, that thrust of the organization?
Well, see, this is what I think is the misunderstanding with Discovery, is that the scholars who were working in that particular silo are not creationists. They are very aware that science has tremendous evidence that the universe is, what, 13 billion years old, and our own Earth is, you know, many billions of years old. And so they have no trouble with the scientific view of the age of the Earth. What their contention was, that there was an intelligent design behind this. And so that's not the same as creationism. And I love to hear the scholars speak who have argued for academic freedom, for those who believe that while there is evidence clearly that there is an evolutionary process at play in our ever-changing world, that there is behind it an intelligent design, whatever you may want to call that, and that that is worthy of being able to discuss, not promote, but discuss in on an academic platform.
Do you think that should be part of a public school curriculum, intelligent design?
Well, I think teaching the controversy is what needs, not promoting one theory or another, but teaching the controversy. And it helps people learn in every aspect of our lives when we hear an opposing point of view from our own.
I also want to ask you about your work as the executive director of the Charles and Lisa Simone Fund for Arts and Sciences here in Seattle. Did that work dovetail with your political beliefs?
You know, we focused on arts and sciences. Our theme was access to excellence. I was just thinking about it today because I spent a month in Moscow with the Soviet space program back in 2007, two trips to Kazakhstan for a launch and a landing. And that was all part of my work related to the foundation. Because of that, I understand Russia better than even a tourist, because I lived there for that month and interacted with people, government employees inside Russia. So I've been thinking about Kiev and the unrest there, and Vladimir Putin's role in the Ukrainian politics. And so just gives you a broader perspective, and I'm grateful for it.
Finally, will you run for office again?
I have no plan to do so. I really like what I am doing, and I like the idea.
I hear the present tense there. It's the present tense.
You know, I am being totally sincere. I really like my job. I really like helping others succeed. And I think that that is a role that fits me like a glove.
I don't hear you ruling it out in the future.
You know, I have executive capability, which is why I ran for King County Executive. That's why I'm running the party. Executive capability means you make decisions, you take responsibility, you manage. And most of the positions that are available to run for office in are legislative. They're lawmaking. And so there are a few executive positions, the governor, the president, county managers, that sort of thing, mayors.
Which you might be interested in.
Well, I don't see a place for me currently. And I even looking out on the horizon, I don't see a place.
Washington State Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchison will be talking to the chair of the State Democratic Party, Jackson Ravins, next month. This is The Record.